CaveRadioBroadcasting.com. I'm Big Easy.
And I'm Hot Lisa.
And that's Mason down there. Say hi, Mason.
Hi.
my 6-year-old is down here with us right now. Hopefully Scotty Roberts and Dr. John Ward will call back. We got some more stuff to ask them about their book, Exodus Reality, which is about their touring of the, you know, of
How
Egypt.
How amazing would that be?
Yeah, just badass. So Scotty Roberts, Dr. John Ward, please call back. I hit the wrong button when I was answering the other guests, which is on the line right now. Dr. Nandi of Ask Dr. Nandi. How you doing, sir?
Thank you. How are you?
Oh, man, amazing. So Ohio State won. You heard my comeback that just came back. I did the Michigan fight song.
That was just wrong.
Well, that's the funny thing is I looked. You graduated your undergrad. You did at Ohio State. Then you came up here to Detroit, went to Wayne State, and then you did your last little bit of schooling at the University of Michigan.
Exactly. But so, you know, I do root for Michigan if they're not playing Ohio State.
Okay, that's what Lisa was going to ask.
Yeah,
I do. I mean, it's just your undergrad where your heart is always at. So
right.
Always root for Ohio State. Ohio State, but we root for Michigan unless they're playing Ohio State.
That's okay. We'll still talk to you.
Yeah. But
I'm
going to
hang up on you. So
hello? Hello?
No, I would never hang up. We just got Scotty Roberts.
The other two guys thought the same thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we just got them back.
We're never going to hang up on you, Clay.
Exactly. We just got them back as he's saying that, too.
Oh, good.
So, all right, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Ask Dr. Nandi is all about?
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's a medical lifestyle show. We talk about any medical and lifestyle topics. You know, for example, we talk about, you know, what kind of foods you need to eat and then what's considered, you know, healthy and not healthy for you. And we talk about diseases but in an understandable way so you can basically have some solutions for your family. So, you know, we're on every day, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock, and we're on Dish and in Comcast. So we're proud of it. It's filmed. We kept the show in Michigan. We film in Metro Detroit, and most of our crews from Detroit, that, you know, we're really proud of that. We were asked to go to L.A., and we were told that it would be a better show and it would be easier, but we think that Michigan's got a lot to offer, so, you know, we're sticking around here, and we're going to actually film our show. And also, I don't think I told you before, but we want to build a studio with an adjoining free clinic. So with our show, often, you know, guests come in, medical experts, and so we would love for them when they come in to volunteer in the free clinic too. So that's one of our dreams to be able to build that. But the show is going really well. We're growing every day, and we're also on digital media, and so we're doing well. Yeah. Thank you for having us on.
Oh, for sure. I met your producer/manager Kyle Green a couple weeks ago out at the TXC Live event that our good friend Joe Battaglia hosted. Dr. Frank Pitino was one of the sponsors there. Peter Nielsen came on. It was really cool because one of my buddies that I went to Specs Howard with was walking downstairs. He was like, I'm going to go grab Peter and bring him up to you. And he was coming down the stairs, and Dr. Pitino was bringing Peter and Kyle up to talk to us. So it was one of them things where it was like it was the best of both worlds collided, you know. And I really appreciate Kyle's been after me to get you on. And Dr. Pitino said nothing but nice words about you. So I it's my pleasure to have you on here. And especially, I mean, that's badass that you're building a studio and then you're going to have a free clinic attached
fantastic.
To it. I mean, you know, who's Dr. Oz? Who, Dr. Who?
What?
Who's that?
Dr. Who, that's right. But, you know, let me tell you a real couple things about Dr. Pitino and Peter Nielsen, real leaders in our community. You know, anybody who's in fitness and in nutrition knows about Dr. Pitino, and we've had him on our show as well as Dr. Nielsen. So we have some real leaders in our community, and we call on them. The other interesting and nice thing about our show is that a lot of shows just kind of try to, I mean, we want to entertain, but you know, we try to cover a medical topic fully. So, for example, if you're talking about, you know, what happens with GMOs or for example, organic food, we don't just spend 2 minutes on it and then talk about nail fungus, you know, 5 minutes later. we talk about it and explain it to you so that you have an understanding of what's going on. And what we like to do is try to give the best of Western medicine and couple with the best of Eastern medicine. A lot of my patients, I'm a practicing internal medicine gastroenterologist. So I see patients full time every day, and so a lot of my patients, you know, they do things outside of just taking pills and following everything we do. And they come and tell me, listen, I did acupuncture, I did yoga, I'm herbal medicine, and so the nice thing about it is that our show says, listen, you take the best you can from Western medicine that we offer, and take the best from Eastern medicine, put it together. One of the examples is, like, for example, we have hepatitis C. Hepatitis C is a really tough disease sometimes to treat because the treatment can be worse than the disease. You know, people feel like crap. When they take the medicine every day, they're tired, they don't want to take their medicines, and it's difficult. However, you know, sometimes people, you know, go outside and think outside the box and say, okay, I'm going to go see, let's say, an acupuncturist or an herbalist, and then they find solutions. A patient came up to me one time and said, you know, doctor, you're going to be mad at me. I said, well, what happened? That I went to an herbal doctor and, you know, I took some of their medicines and I felt better. And I said, no, why would I be mad? You know, you're taking the medicines that, you know, with the direction of this herbalist, and you're feeling better, so you can take my medicine. And that's the kind of solution we offer, real things that people can use. I mean, people, you know, it's not all things are good for one person. We try to give you solutions that, you know, basically are so varied that you can choose with our guidance about what works for you. So that's what I love about having the opportunity to do that. And as probably Kyle told you, the motivation for us to doing this show is to be able to give people the opportunity to live better lives. There's a lot of information out there. You know, you go out and you can Google anything now, right? We'd like to give you some direction. But listen, with this kind of information overload, we'd like to at least point in the right direction. And that's a nice opportunity to be able to do that.
Well, yeah, that's an amazing approach to be able to incorporate both, you know, like you were saying, Eastern and Western medicine. I work in a pharmacy, and I see these patients coming in and picking up bagfuls of different medications with, you know, a dictionary full of side effects and things that they have. And it blows my mind of all the different things, the problems that can be caused by the solutions. So to embrace a different, you know, philosophy.
And, you know, that's a big problem in American medicine is that people are not aware of all the possibilities that are out there. You know, yeah, you have Western doctors who just will not even look at the other side, and vice versa. You have, like, for example, you know, you have people that say that, you know, here, take my herbs and stop everything else. That's not a good solution either. You know, you got heart failure and you stop your heart failure medicines, you're going to die. Or you have high blood pressure. The key is to be able to take the best from both. And we try to guide that. We try to say, listen, when you have, I did a whole show on acupuncture, and this woman, you know, was putting needles in my arm, and you know, I was showing, listen, this doesn't hurt, and it can help. But does that mean that you don't need to take your blood pressure meds? Hell no, absolutely not, absolutely not. And that's the problem that we have in what we do in American medicine sometimes, is that we just pick one way or another. So we talk about that. The other thing that's interesting about our show is, for example, this year, you know, the Affordable Health Care Act or Obamacare, and my patients are just like, they're scrambling. They don't know what's going to happen. They're confused. So we try to offer a lot of information about things like Obamacare, things like what happens when you go to a hospital, what are medical insurances all about. Nobody seems to understand it. For example, if you have, you know, a broken leg, and you know, let's say the both of you are healthy, and you go in and you stay for, you know, 4 or 5 days, and you go home. Well, and then somebody who's elderly comes into the hospital, and they stay for 35 days. People don't know the hospital gets paid the same for you as they would get for the 35-year-olds, I mean, for the guy who stays for 35 days and the older person. Well, if that's the case, sometimes the hospital is really pressured to get rid of the older person. You know, I mean, things like that people don't get. They don't understand the payment system, what drives this to happen. My dad had a stroke, and I saw firsthand the pressures of getting older people, kicking them out of the hospital. No matter
oh, yeah.
What.
Yeah,
stuff like that is important when we talk about that.
A little over a year ago, my dad was in the same boat. He was having strokes, and you know they couldn't figure out what was causing it. And I mean, they had the priest come in to give him his last rites. I went in there to talk to him to, you know, say goodbye. And, you know, 2 weeks later, he's fine at home. You know, it was really, really weird. But then, you know, wow. But then a week later, he's back. And they were, you know, shuffling him from hospital to hospital. One hospital, I mean, he lost his teeth and his glasses. It was just really ridiculous the way that they shuffled him in and out of places. And, oh, well, your time's up on your medicine, so you got to go home. And then 3 days later, he's back in the hospital.
And that has got to change. So what we'd like to do is at least give people the information to be an advocate. You know, if you don't know, people just say, okay. I'll tell you, I was a doctor, and they told me that, you know, your dad's not going to do well. Day one, you know, when I was there. And I said to them, listen, you know what, I think it takes more than a day for you to figure that out.
Did they know you were a doctor?
Yeah, you know, even, you know, some, I don't always try to exert, like, oh, I'm a doc.
And yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to be like everybody else. So, you know, but I told them, I said, listen, this is my dad. I think in 24 hours, you cannot make that assessment. And what we say to people is that, listen, you know, we're not saying that everybody's going to know everything, that you go against all the doctors or the administrators, but be an advocate for people that you love. And we will give you a little bit of knowledge so at least you'll understand what is actually going on, what the insurance companies are worried about, what are the hospitals worried about, how to go talk to your doctor. I mean, people, you go in now, right? I mean, you can barely ask somebody two questions before they're out the door, right? I mean, you go see a doctor.
Amen.
It's just the pressures on both sides. And we try to educate people, listen, maybe just a guide on what you need to do to go see a doctor. I mean, every survey says that people are unsatisfied when they go see the doctors. Hence, they don't go see us, right? If they don't go see us, all of the stuff that we're talking about, all of the miracles and the advances are not being done. For example, this is Colon Cancer Awareness Month, March, you know, and I still see people. I mean, this week I saw somebody with a colon mass. It's completely preventable. And if we don't make, if we, meaning doctors and healthcare providers, don't make a hospital or office a place where patients can come to, what happens is that, you know, they're not going to take care advantage of that system, and they're going to keep dying of colon cancer. You know, number two cancer killer still today. You know, it's completely preventable. So things like that, we just have to make it easier for patients because, you know, whether people believe it or not, you know, we're here for the patients, not the other way around. And we want to let people know that on the show and on our website. It's just that we would like to let people know, listen, the healthcare professionals are there to help you to live a better life. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You're doing the Relay for Life, and that's a huge effort. It's part of that whole movement is to get people in the door, get them screened, get them tested so that we can take advantage of it. And so we talk about things like that in our show as well.
All right, now you just, you know, bulldozed right into a question that I wanted to ask you, and that's about cancer prevention. You know, Lisa just went and had a mammogram done yesterday. She's 36 years old. I just turned 40 and had the... done to me, you know, a year ago. And, you know, you got to go back and, you know, it's something that's necessary. And that's something that, you know, what can you do? What can we do? I mean, like you said, you touched on the Relay for Life, K Radio 365. We're trying to bring cancer awareness to you 365 days a year, not just a month, not just a day, 365 days a year, and not just one cancer. We want to bring, you know, cancer kills every single day, and it's not just, there's hundreds of different kinds of cancers that are out there, maybe not hundreds, but dozens of different cancers out there killing people every single day.
Absolutely.
What can we do? I mean, we are a gluttonous society here in the United States, and I mean, what can we do to help ourselves be better prepared so this doesn't happen? Because, I mean, this has been going on for a long time, doctor.
And it seems that you're seeing more and more folks that are younger, they're having cancer. So, I'll give you very simple answers that are not, you know, they're not earth-shattering. Number one, you've got to figure out what you're putting in your body. So what do I mean by that? You know, you've got to take foods that are nutrient-dense, that are basically from the earth, and try to stop eating red meat. Stop eating processed food. Don't go to fast food restaurants all the time. So if you can, try to get as much organic food as you can. Because here's what's happening is that there's a whole, I mean, I can talk about this part for a very long time, but suffice it to say is that, you know, the pesticides that we're putting in our food, I mean, it's very difficult to get away from those. So you try to find as many, you know, nutritious organic foods as you can. Number one, drink plenty of water and not pop and not alcohol. You know, 64 ounces of water a day. So watch what you're eating. Number two, get a little bit of exercise a day. If you can, you know, walk, run, get on the treadmill, do something 30 minutes a day. If you can, just do something instead of sitting in front of the television and becoming sedentary. Number three, see your doctor. Why? not only when you have something wrong with you, and I don't mean go to an urgent care center every time you have a cold, go to see somebody that can say, listen, you know what? You are 36 years old, and you are at risk for breast cancer because of this. You are 40 years old, you're at risk for colon cancer because of this. These are the things you can do for screening. So the biggest cancers, right? What about the lung cancer? Smoking. Number one, it's such a huge industry, and, you know, we try to make it look cool when you smoke. It's absolutely not cool when you're dying of lung cancer or having COPD. And every single disease we know is worse than with smoking. So stop smoking if you can. And I'm being a little bit of a preacher, but, you know, there's no other way to say it. You've got to just stop doing it. There's no excuses. And it's not easy to stop smoking, by the way. It is a behavioral as well as a pharmacological addiction. People who don't smoke have no idea how difficult it is to stop smoking. So you are going to need help. Most people say, well, I just quit cold turkey. You should be able to do it too and all that crap. That's not really the case. Most people cannot quit by themselves. They need help. So quit smoking and then get screened. What are the main screenings? You know, you talked about mammogram. You know, however crazy it is or difficult it is, get a mammogram done, you know, at your appropriate age group. Talk to a doctor and see. If you've got a family history, you have to do it sooner. You know, my mom and my sister both have breast cancer. I mean, it is an epidemic out there. You can now treat it early and get rid of it, but it's devastating our country and all the women and also men. Men can also get breast cancer, so get screened. Colonoscopy, so number two cancer code is colon cancer, right? Colonoscopies, if you're over 50, get a colonoscopy. We laugh about it, and it's kind of funny because it's that part of the body, but I'll tell you, you know, I still...
That wasn't fun, doctor.
It isn't. It absolutely is not fun.
I'm glad Shaq wasn't my doctor.
Can I get that teeny, teeny, tiny doctor over there?
Can I get the midget doctor over there, please?
Absolutely. You know, but I'll tell you, the thing is, we do laugh about it, and the preparation the night before is not easy. But I will tell you this, we can still prevent this cancer, in my opinion, 100%, if we get it done. And if you get it done and it's negative, you wait 10 years. So those are your major cancers. Prostate cancer, you know, talk to your doctor if the PSA test is right for you. There's a huge movement out there not to check your PSA. I am somebody who feels, which is a blood test, by the way, prostate-specific antigen for men for prostate cancer. But those are the major cancers. But like I said, figure out what you're putting in your mouth, number one. Get some exercise, stop smoking, and just see your doctor. And not just when you're sick, but when you're not sick, so you can prevent it. You know, we have a crisis in healthcare, right? They tell us how expensive it is. If we can just do something to prevent these damn diseases, it's a no-brainer. It'll be 100 times cheaper. So a lot of the stuff that's happening in the new Affordable Healthcare Act will help, hopefully, people get screened and get those screening tests without people having to worry about, you know, getting a bill. So I think that if you do those things, at least you can put some dent into it. But take it seriously. You know, make sure you follow up when you get these. When you go to the doctor, don't just go there. Do the things that they're telling you to do.
Awesome. Dr. Nandi, I just got a couple more questions for you. Now, you hit the nail right on the head. By the way, you're listening to Hot and Easy on KVRadioBroadcasting.com. Scotty Roberts and Dr. John Ward are on the line still, but they're going to join us here in a few minutes. Dr. Nandi from AskDrNandi.com is on the line. Also, we're going to have a couple of cool things towards the end. In honor of you being on the show, we have a top five that we're going to get to right after you get off the air. It's the top five.
I can imagine what that would be.
No, it's really good. It's top five. We talk about sex, love, and rock and roll here on Hot and Easy.
That's what I talk about when I do my colonoscopy.
But we usually do a music based top five or top ten, and tonight we're doing songs/movies/artists, right?
Yeah, musicians, TV shows.
Yeah, TV shows with the name Doctor in the title.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yep, and then in honor of Dr. John Ward and Scotty Roberts being on in their book Exodus, which is based in Egypt and all that, we have top five epic/era-based movies. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool thing. All right, so now back to the cancer thing, and I know I just kind of got off subject there. But, I mean, we're doing this thing for Relay for Life. Our goal is $5,000. I think the total goal for the Redford Relay for Life is $100,000. Why, in all these years of all these relays and all this stuff, is there not some sort of either we don't where is this disease coming from? Why is there not a cure? I mean, it's almost like and everyone that I know says this. There's almost more money in the treatment than the cure, so they don't want to find a cure. That's what it looks like to us out here.
That's the conspiracy.
That's the conspiracy theorist in me saying that. But I mean, seriously, we raise. I mean, it's got to be up in the billions of dollars now
for all these different cities.
Yeah. So why isn't there? Why aren't we that much closer to a cure?
Here's the short answer: is that human beings are that complex. We just know so little about what's going on, and as we know more and more, we're getting an idea. So cancer in general, how does it happen? Most of us think it's kind of a two-hit hypothesis, which means that your genes kind of make you predisposed or give you an increased risk for cancer, and then something else sets it off. So if it's in the genetic, if it's in your genes that this could happen, you can imagine how difficult it is to go back and change your genes in such a way that it doesn't work. So I'll give you an example. So when there's a cancer, your immune system, right, what fights bugs, et cetera, they actually attack the cancer cells. Imagine that your immune system in one of your genes doesn't work properly. Well, all of a sudden, a few cancer cells then start to grow. So to be able to go to that gene and then be able to change it, and only in the individuals that this happens to, is still difficult. I mean, so it's hard to get a cure because it's so complex. But I'll tell you that they're getting closer and closer. I mean, there are tumors that when I was a resident, you wouldn't even think about having a cure. Now it's treatable. I mean, if you look at you heard of Michael Douglas, or the actor. I mean, he has stage 4 cancer, laryngeal cancer, and he's doing movie parts now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting there. And I agree with you. I can't tell you where every dime is going, and I'm sure there's some funny stuff going on somewhere a little bit along the way. But a lot of the cancer researchers are really working hard. I used to work in a lab that used to do this, and they would, try to find. It's hard to explain to you how detailed you have to get to just figure out one little part of the process. So I don't want to make it too complicated, but I think that we don't want to lose the big picture, is that we are getting there. To find a cure, I think our technology has to really, really step up its game tremendously, and we will get there. Right now, but we've got a lot of preventative measures, and we have a lot of treatments. And so I think some of those treatments can really keep people alive. I mean, breast cancer. I mean, let me just look at my mom and my sister. I mean, they've gotten treatments, and I knock on wood, it's going to keep them, going for a very long time. So there are advances that are being made that are really, really, and there are, I'll tell you guys, there are real heroes in medicine. There are real people that are just working their butts off trying to save these people. All you have to do is go to these cancer wards. And I know you're not saying there aren't, but I don't want people to forget. But despite the fact that it's not a cure, the treatments are really getting better and better and better. Now you can live with cancer. 50 years ago, they would just say, see you later, get a burial.
My mom passed away in 1998 and from cancer. She had it started off in her lymph nodes. Traveled to her lungs, went to her brain. She battled it for 3 years, man. It was painful to watch, but it made me respect first the disease that much more, because it's not a joke. And as soon as, I mean, every time I see something, I'm giving blood, I'm doing all that stuff. I believe, and there's got to be something out there, someone out there, the movie the with Sean Connery. Where he goes to South Africa or something like that and finds, the cure is in the trees. Yes. I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, but it's something as minute as that has got to be where it happens. And, as long as there's charities, I'm going to give the money,
to it. Also, the thing is that to have an open enough mind to say, listen, it can't always be in a test tube, right? You may have to go outside and see what people have been doing for centuries to prevent diseases and find it that way. And there are people who are doing that, so you're absolutely right. And what I should say also is it's amazing what you guys are doing to collect this money, because without the money, you can't, nothing happens, unfortunately, without the money. You can't afford these researchers to come in and do the kind of jobs you're doing and these clinical trials. So thank you for doing that, for all the practitioners that we benefit from that, because we get the results of the treatment that help the people that we treat. You know, without that, a week ago, I had a person who was bleeding to death, and with throwing up blood from liver disease, and he had a bleeding vessel in his esophagus. Because of the funding and the technology, I was able to stop the bleed. The guy walked home basically 3 days later. He would have died without that. And so,
right.
You know, all the money that you're raising is absolutely critical to be helping some of these patients. I really appreciate you guys.
Now, I know we only had you scheduled for like 20, 30 minutes and our time just about up. We got to take a break and get back to the other guests. But I want to invite you back another time very soon. Come back on Hot and Easy maybe in a couple weeks when we get closer to the Relay for Life, because we're going to have in studio some survivors, some people that have lost their family members. And we have one special guest that I've been trying to get on, our friend Devin out in Arizona, who's battling cancer right now. It's kicking her ass, and she's a good friend of mine and a really good friend of mine's wife, and you know, it's killing us that it's not working, everything's not working. But I would like to maybe get you two on together on a night maybe and talk about it
as we
get closer.
Let me know and I'll make it happen anytime.
All right, cool. Two quick questions. We have a segment later on in the show. McDonald's is actually getting sued right now by some of their workers for I guess like not malpractice, but not, what did you like stealing hours? Like they won't let them punch in until their shift starts. They're not
so
paying them for overtime.
Fraud.
Yeah, time card fraud. Well, in honor of that, Lisa has a question for you.
What was
that's my expertise? Time card fraud.
No. No, nothing like that.
What was your worst job ever?
Oh, my worst job ever was cleaning houses. This guy left his entire, you know, bathroom. He basically took a dump and wouldn't even flush, and I had to clean.
Oh.
That was the worst job ever.
Oh,
that just does not sound
no.
good. I'm a plumber, so I
you know what I'm talking about. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing.
I for sure. I'm a plumber, so I know exactly what you're talking about. All right, and then my last question for you. We like to throw a little couple curveballs at you. Three people, dead or alive, that you would like to have drinks with.
So Gandhi, number one. Number two would be John F. Kennedy. And number three is our president, Obama.
Barack Obama. Very nice. I think you're the first person that has said Barack Obama.
I know. It's not a very popular name now. But, man, you got to have some balls to do what he's doing right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I agree.
I'd love to beat somebody, but just to get in his mind and say, you know what, I want to introduce the most controversial piece of legislation before I have re-election. I mean,
right.
You just have to have some serious balls of steel to do that. So that's what I'd like to talk about.
Well, Dr. Nandi, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I also want to thank your producer/manager, Kyle Green, for being, you know, for harassing me enough to get you on the air finally. And I really like him, man. He's a good young kid, man. And you got a guy that's working his ass off for you, man. And I appreciate the oomph that he gave me to get you on the show. And it couldn't have been better, man. You're one hell of a guy.
I appreciate it. He is unbelievable, and we're really lucky to have him on our team. He's a good friend as well, so I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having us on.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Appreciate it. We'll definitely love to come on again.
For sure. We'll talk to you very soon, and we're Facebook friends, and I like to keep up with my guests and stuff like that from time to time, so I'm going to shoot you some messages soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. You have a good night.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, that was Ask Dr. Nandi from AskDrNandi.com joining us here on Hot and Easy.